last week, you know, I had that young guy that had emailed me or texted me about wanting to get married and wanting some advice about marriage. And we did that. Many of you really enjoyed that. And I got a bunch of people text me across the spectrum there. I guess sometimes we don't understand, you know, how much impact that what we put on the internet and out there really affects people. It wasn't, you know, I think Monday I got another question from two different sources wanting me to follow up on some similar things, which I'm going to do tonight. But I guess sometimes it amazes me. I got to tell you this story. On the YouTube channel, I don't know how you get your YouTube channel. I just say YouTube and she brings it up. But anyway, you can find a lot of the old war movies on there that you can't find. They never show them on television. I don't know how that happens. I think a lot of guys post them on there or whatever the case may be. And a lot of historical stuff. And I really get into the historical stuff. And so I think it was Monday or Tuesday, I think it was, that I was going through the YouTube thing, you know, where they push the boxes and you can go across. And there was one there that I saw on Operation Barbarossa, which looked really good. So I watched that one, and then I scrolled across a little more, and then there was like a 20-minute one on the French SS division, Charlemagne. Most people don't even know that during World War II, there were certain people who were so against Russia that they actually left their countries and fought for the Germans. And Frenchmen were one of them. I mean, France was occupied, you know, brutally for a number of years. They had Paris and all those places. But there were some Frenchmen who were really against the Russians and saw the war in those terms. So they joined the army, German army, and a little later on they became part of the SS. They were called the Charlemagne Division. Charlemagne was a French hero back in the day. So anyway, they fought at the end of Berlin, you know, and were decimated. So I thought, oh, I got to watch that. So I watched that for a while, and I'm thinking, what else I got here? So I'm shooting across all these war movies, and bang, guess who pops up? Sunday's Message, Old Pass Baptist Church. I'm looking at it. 380 people have watched it since Sunday. And I'm thinking, I said, Lord, if you were going to put me any place on YouTube, thank you for putting me in the war movie section. And I couldn't believe it. And I don't know how that happens. I have no idea how it happens. I am just telling you. You know, back in the day, when I was with Truman Dollar at the Kansas City Baptist Temple, we had a TV program. And it was on Channel 9, actually, and it was only a half hour on Sunday morning. That's all it was. And we had to make our own television broadcast and then take it down to Channel 9, and they would play it. So we had to have Channel 9 quality TV cameras. We had to have a whole producing thing to do all of that. And I remember we raised... You know, every year they had to buy new cameras and this, that, but we had like $800,000 in all that equipment, and then plus had to pay for a half hour spot on Sunday morning. And I look back at that and things have changed. We're on 24/7 Sunday morning, even now Thursday night. We don't pay a dime for it, and we're going all over the place. It's just the fact how things have changed so much. And, you know, I know the internet can be a bad thing, but it's just like anything else in life. It depends on how you use it. So if you're floating through the war movies on the YouTube channel some night, don't be surprised if I don't float up there someplace and surprise you. But anyway, now I got, based on last week, I got two different sets of parents that emailed me. And both basically said the same thing. And what they said was, they said, hey, we really appreciated what you did last week. It really helped us, da-da-da-da-da-da. We are, and they both basically said this. They don't know each other, but they basically said the same thing. They said, you know, we have kids now that are 12, 13, or 14 years old, and we're facing the aspect of they're going to start dating. And he said, you did such a masterful job, which I really didn't. I just gave you the basics of helping this young kid understand about getting married, because you have some advice to us as parents, you know, when our kids are facing going to be able to have to date here in a year or two or whatever the parents say that they can. And would you be kind enough to do that? And obviously, yeah, I will, because there's a lot of people out there. Hey, there's people in our own church. We all have kids that are getting to that age, or you will at some point. And so I'm going to take a few minutes tonight. This won't have to be as long as the other one because it's a little more simplified. But to understand what dating for a Christian should be as a parent. And if you have kids that are, sooner or later, they're going to hit that age, you know, 14 or 15, and every parent's up to them when they allow their child to date. We didn't let our kids date till they were, how old, Barb? 20. Yeah, that sounds about right. I don't know, 14 or 15, 16, somewhere in there. Yeah. And we screened it very, very well. And we Barb worked with them through their dating process. And, you know, and it's a thing where you're going to have kids that get into those early teenage years, and then they become young adults, and then it goes from there. And so let me start out by telling you this, and this is something that we followed. It's something that I've taught for years and years and years. I'd like to probably, wherever John Busquette is at, if you can hear me, I'd like to put this into a little brochure that we can put in a bookstore. I think it'd be profitable. But anyway, so I want to give you some principles that I think that every parent ought to operate by. And I, for whatever reason, I don't understand this, and this doesn't happen all the time, but it happens a lot. Parents will be so into their kids' lives as they're growing up, what they're learning, teaching them the Bible, but seemingly that when they start that dating process, the parents just evaporate someplace. They're not, if there's any time you ought to be really involved, that is the time, when they're 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, up to where you can. Now, I know that, you know, we have kids in our church that your parents didn't do that. You're in your 20s and your 30s, you're still single, and you date, and you do great. But I am saying the parent has to be part of the process. Now, first off, anybody who prospectively looks to find a husband or a wife or a mate, build a relationship, you need to start and understand back in Genesis chapter 24, I have laid this out, it's on the website, but in Genesis chapter 24, the Bible lays out 19 principles that have to be followed if it's going to be successful. And you know, it's built on Eleazar going and looking for a bride for Isaac. And in that story, you find unfolding what anybody who wants to build a relationship or begin the process of building a relationship as a parent, you ought to have taken your kids there and walked them through that. And then wherever you go with those kids, keep those things as the fundamental, foundational principles that they're going to build whatever relationship they're going to build on. You know, it's the foundational key. You know, the second thing is understanding biblically what dating is or what it should be, and as it should be part of the training of the parent for their kids when they get to that age. Now, as far as I'm concerned, in my experience of 50-some years dealing with parents, kids, everybody, the whole nine yards, this is where parents fail, one of the areas they fail. It's somehow when kids start to date, God gets lost in the shuffle, so to speak. I know they're young, they're emotionally changing, they're physically changing, the dynamics are all changing. I get that. If there ever was a time when parents need to kind of hold the line and make sure that everything goes the way that it should go, you know, as part of the dating, see, dating as part of their training, that you just don't get them to a point and say, oh, yeah, they're dating. I hope he finds a nice guy. Make sure he's saved and make sure she's saved. There's much more to it than that. And this is where the failure is. The third thing is understanding that dating, and I think this is probably the most important part once you get the 19 principles down. You got to understand that dating will be a biblical transition for any child, whether it's a kid or whether it's a boy or a girl. There'll be three transitional aspects that you as a parent, you have to know. The kid is not going to figure it out on his own. Now, once he listens to this, if he does or whatever, maybe it'll help. But this is where the parent has to come in. And, you know, not realizing that your child, when they begin to date, is entering into a transitional period in three aspects. And if they don't see that, then, you know, it's going to be boy crazy, girl crazy, all kinds of stuff, and God is most certainly going to get lost into the shuffle. But as a parent, when your child begins to get to that point where they're going to start dating, you need to understand and then lay it out to them that now, son, sweetheart, honey, daughter, son, you're now going to date, and this is part of life. You're going to get to that point. But you need to understand that what is happening now from a Bible standpoint, I mean, we can't put God into your life and all the other areas, and then when you start dating, God is nowhere to be found. No. You're now entering into a three-pronged transition. And you need to understand that. And I will help you through that. Now, the first transition will be their transitioning into adulthood. Let's face it, a kid is 15, 16, 17, 18 maybe. They're not an adult by any stretch of imagination. I don't care when you're 18 if you're legally adult. I don't care. You're not an adult maturity-wise, experience-wise on any level. But you're not a kid anymore either. You're trapped in the vacuum between adolescence and adulthood. And that can be a very confusing time. It can be a very dangerous time. Your emotions are changing. Your hormones are changing. Physically, you're changing. Spiritually, things are changing, and you've got to understand that your kid now is beginning that transition where everything is going to be confusing to them. They're not going to understand things like a young man now is well into puberty. A young lady now is into her menstrual cycle. Everything now is changing. See, they're not a kid anymore, but they're not an adult either. They're in that twilight zone between the two where now is where they really need some guidance. And this is where a lot of parents make a mistake. I have seen them do this, and I just shake my head. I've seen parents that their girls were, 12, 13, 14 years old, and they let them wear makeup like they're a 20-year-old. They let them dress like they're a 20-year-old. They let them, and I don't know what the parents think. I guess they think that, well, that's just, you know, part of it, you know. But you don't understand. You're forcing your daughter into a lifestyle, in a world, by how she looks, that she's not ready emotionally, physically, and spiritually to handle. And so there you are, painting her up like a possum hunter at Folksbury time. You're giving her all of those things, you know, and doing all of those things. And emotionally and physically, she's not able to handle all that. And it creates a confusion in their world. It adds to what they already don't understand and what they're trying to figure out. And you're going to see that the first thing you got to realize is they're transitioning from adolescence, or childhood anyhow, into adulthood. And that is probably the toughest time in their life. You know, I don't know how many times parents have said, you know, my kids were just the greatest kids on the world. When they hit 12-year-old, I don't know what happened. They all died and went, we got demon-possessed. That's because of where they're at. And now, not only are they transitioning from that to adulthood, but the second thing is they're transitioning from the family, mom and dad, brothers and sisters, and they're translating now into other relationships. And that is scary for them too. This is where you're going to find that guys and gals, you begin to see emotionally they're not mature enough yet. And let me say this, if you don't figure this out already, girls mature faster than guys do. They just do. I don't know why that is, because once we get old, the guys are much smarter. Just kidding. Yeah, I'm just kidding. But they mature faster. You'll see in relationships that when they start to make that transition from family, moms and dads, they were really close with mom and dad. Most boys are closer to their moms than they are to their dad. That's just the way it is. Most girls can be closer to the dad than they are to the mom. That's the way that it is. But the process is, this is all new to them. And they feel like being pulled. And many times this brand new world of a relationship is scary to them. And it's hard for some. It's hard for them to be able to break out of that family mode and transition to the new experiences. Understand the new feelings that they have. Understand the new thought process. I guess what I'm trying to say, understanding now that there is a difference between guys and gals, and you now have become acutely aware of that. And I use the word acutely because in your mind you're saying, she's really acutely. But that's a struggle many times. And parents either are oblivious to it or parents don't understand what to do with it. I have been asked that before, you know, and I had a year ago or so, I had a guy came in and who's doing well now, and he was very shy in when it came to the opposite sex, and he really didn't know what to do. And he was a really good kid. And he says, I don't know how to get over that. And I said, you know, I watched you preach a message here a while back, and how many times you preached? And he said, oh, I preached 4 or 5. I said, were you nervous this first time you preached? Oh, I was scared to death. But it didn't stop you from preaching. See? I said, do you witness to people at work? Are you a witness? Yeah, I witnessed to people at work. Were you scared and nervous the first time before you witnessed? Oh, yeah, I really was. I didn't know if I would do it. I said, but you learned how to do it. In other words, in everything in life, to get to the next level, you have to apply yourself. You have to do the work to get past whatever the stumbling block is that's going to keep you. If it's preaching, you get up there and do it. If it's being a witness, you get open your mouth and let it go. And if it's building a relationship, you have to come to the place where you get past that. You look at a lot of times it's a self-confidence aspect that gets some confidence in yourself. But transitioning from the family, mom and dad, into another relationship is something that a parent should be aware of. Not just say, okay, be back by 9 o'clock tonight. You got to understand where they're coming from. The third thing is ultimately dating, in most cases, is the beginning of the transition through the first one and the second one, that someday people are going to get married. Now, this is where, as I said last week, people getting married for the most part don't understand what marriage is. God has a natural growth process that brings you as a child, a little kid, with your mom and dad taking care of you, doing you to this point. When you get older, then you begin to go through these transitional phases that mom and dad should be there with you too, that ultimately springs you forth, as the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. See? That's the point of exit right there. But till that point comes, mom and dad has a key role, and maybe as they get older, it's just a matter of giving them advice or praying for them or whatever, if you've done your homework. But they need to understand that God's plan to reach the world, and we put this so far from the one from the other, God's plan to reach the world is family ministry teams. And family ministry teams start with these 19 principles in Genesis chapter 24, and understanding the three transitions that somebody is getting through, going through to get to that point. And this is where a child needs the parent the most, in my estimation. This is where the parent doesn't hands off at this point, think they're old enough now to make their own decision. No, they're not. And ultimately, if you don't, they're going to make the wrong decisions. And I think one of the biggest problems that I've seen in dating for years and years and years, watching it and working through problems, is bad advice or no advice. Many times kids are left to themselves to figure it out. Mom and dad don't sit down with them, take them through Genesis 24, lay out the 19 deals, and just say, hey, you know what? This is the foundation that we're going to work with. Because when you start to date, sweetheart, son, when you start to date, I want you to know you're going through three transitions in your life to get to where God wants you to be. And just as I helped you transition from not being saved to getting saved, I'm going to be here to help you transition through these three things to get you where God wants you to be. And many times they don't get that. They're left to figure it out for themselves. Other than the 19 principles, and you need to get this down too, because boy, there's a lot of bad information about this. Genesis chapter 24, those 19 principles are bedrock. They are everything that you build on. But as far as the dating world, as far as who you date, there's no set pattern to that. I mean, obviously, it's a guy and a gal, and you go do something, or you meet someplace, or you do this. Well, I get that. But I am saying, in the man and the boy and the girl, there's no pattern to that you can actually follow, other than Genesis chapter 24. There's no stereotype. And the reason for that is, you know, everybody's different. When I look at you, the thing that makes our church really strong and great in my mind is the diversity of everybody in it. Some of you do some things well. Some of you don't do the same things well. But you do other things well. Everybody brings to the body, everybody brings to the church the best of what God's ability has given you. Now, you're going to find some that can cover all the bases, but you don't find that very often. you find, and when I look at you, I look at you and try to build you and use you in what I see is your strength and your ability. At the same time, try to help you shore you up in other areas, but recognizing the fact that this is what you bring to the party at Old Bass Baptist Church. And this is where you're really good at what you do. I watch some of you guys, you know, when you take these younger guys and you work with them, you disciple them, you work with them. Some of you older guys work with the older guys, and you do a phenomenal job. I watch you ladies as you work with girls and ladies, and you disciple them, you work with them, you invest in them. This is what, but everybody does it differently. This is like when the discipleship lessons, when I wrote the discipleship lessons, I wrote them open-ended enough that they're not somebody isn't locked in to doing it exactly. I want you to have the freedom to build yourself into those teaching lessons, because that's vital. But it says nobody's the same. And if two people aren't the same in ministry, do you actually think that two people are going to be the same? Everybody's going to be the same in dating? And that is the first fatal mistake that people make. They think that they see this relationship and the way this one goes, so that's the way all relationships should go. Or you had an experience in your relationship and it worked out great, praise the Lord, so then you want to tell everybody that this is the way you do it. No, because everybody is different. And what works for me in studying my Bible the way I study it may not work for you in the way that you study it and lay it out. You know why? We're not the same. And we seem to see that in all the areas of ministry in the church, but then we lose sight of it, when it comes to, the dating aspect. And when I first got, right with the Lord, and guy told me that that there was only one person in the world for you. And as you go through life, you need to find that one person. And I really didn't buy it then, but the older I got, the less I really bought that. The truth of the matter is, there could be multiple people out there that you could be compatible with, have a ministry with, and be happy in marriage with. And I mean, somebody says, well, there's one person out there and that's the only person that's right for you. You know what destroys that concept? If you take 150 men and 50 women and they're all saved and have the Holy Spirit of God, you have the basis right there of salvation, the Holy Spirit of God, to be compatible. What else is there to be compatible with? You got the Holy Spirit, they got the Holy Spirit. I mean, you ever stop and think about Christ as the bridegroom, or we're the bride? You have to stop thinking how many brides he has. And every one of them is different. But he's going to marry all of them. Don't get that idea going. But it's a spiritual thing, so it's different. And sometimes you find that today, people saying that today. And if a person is saved, you already have the basis for marriage, which is the Holy Spirit of God. Then you follow through those 19 principles. When you date and you find, meet people, you're going through a process. Because we take God out of the equation, we look at perceptive of a mate based on what we want, not necessarily what God wants. I'm going to tell you right now, in marriage, you never just marry the person. You got to marry the Christ in the person. That's where it gets lost. Now, under the New Testament, we're under liberty as a Christian. And there may be many folks out there, male or female, depending on your gender, that you could be happy with, minister with. But here's what God does. As long as you follow the principles of Genesis chapter 24, God allows you to see what develops through basic relationships, and then allows you and her or him, to choose based on Genesis chapter 24 and you building that relationship, if it's going to work or not. I see the same thing I've had this happen a lot. Some guy will come into my office and he'll say, Bob, I got a problem I need you to help me with. And I'll say, what's that? And he says, you know what? I got two job offers and I don't know which one to take. Neither one of them are going to interfere with my ministry. They both are about the same money-wise. There's perks in each one of them. Bob, how do I know which one God wants me to take? Now, you're going to find people in a dilemma with a dating just like that. And you know what my answer is to him? I say, hey, look. You've been with me now X number of years. I've watched you. I know you. You've done everything that God has asked you to do with the Word of God. You've grown. You work in ministry. You touch people's lives. I know you're not perfect, and I know you got problems like everybody else, but I would be hard-pressed to find something wrong with you in your Christian life from my standing as your pastor. You do everything I ask you to do. You do it by the book. You love the Word of God. You're in the Word of God. So, if you're a person like that, you know what? God says, you've done everything I've asked you to do. You've given me your life. You've given me this. You've given me that. You've done everything I've asked you to do. Now you've got two jobs, and you think that you're not sure which one to take. I'll tell you what. You take whatever one you want, and I will bless you in either one of them. You see how easy that is? You do what's right with God, and you give God everything. When you come down to a decision like that, where it doesn't take away from your ministry, it doesn't take you out of your church, it doesn't hurt anything you're doing, God simply says, you've done everything right. You pick which one you want. Because God gives us liberty. He's not going to channel us into a job you don't want. God wants you to be happy in your job. He wants you to be happy and fulfilled with what you do, because then you bring blessings to others. So he's not going to shackle you into a job that you don't like. Now, maybe at some point you'll have to do a job that you're not crazy about to get to where you need to be to get what God has for you. I understand that. I've had to do that. But when it comes to dating, it's the same principle. You do what's right. You follow those 19 principles. Mom and dad, you work with them through those areas. You help them understand those transitions. But most of all, you help them understand the bottom line of marriage that they're transitioning to. It's not just about daddy took the T-bird away. It's about you building a relationship with a goal. And as long as you follow the principles, God allows you to match up with somebody. It works, it doesn't work. We're compatible, we're not compatible. We work through it, and you're going to find probably in life there's a number of people that you could be compatible with, but you get to choose because you have the goal of where you want to go. But you see, most guys never get that part. They can't see past. That's all they can see. I'm sorry, I made her hips a little big. They can't get past that. They don't understand that entering into dating has to have an end game goal. And what you're doing in dating, working through those different transitions, is doing what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, you're proving all things. And that's the key. Dating is the process of proving out each other. When the parents lay it out, keep involved in the child's life. If you got a boy, you need to be teaching him how to be the leader. If you've got a girl, you need to be teaching her the principles out of Genesis 19. Rachel is the greatest example of what every woman should be before she gets married. Rebecca. And Isaac is the greatest picture of what a guy should be. And when a parent, whatever the gender is, does that and helps with that, that's where it begins to really pay off. Now, having said that, I know that in our own church, and this is true across the country and the world, you have young gals and young guys who didn't have any of that. They really didn't. And you've got where you're at, basically you're on your own. That's unbelievably commendable. But I'm going to go back to what I said. Because you have done what's right with the Word of God, God is going to protect you and give you the desires of your heart. The fact that nobody ever gave you that is really not your fault. So God compensates for it by giving you and taking care of you because of your attitude toward the Word of God and wanting to be all God wants you to be. And then God will put you in a church someplace where you can get what you need before you need it. Here, before anybody gets married, they go through a marriage class. It's taught by couples who are really have good, solid marriages, and they help you understand, and a lot of times will play catch-up to where you're at. But the Bible says to prove all things, and dating is the process of proving out each other. You, the boy, have to prove yourself to her. She, the girl, has to prove herself to you out of Genesis chapter 24, and both of you prove yourself to Christ. It's more than just, do I really like her? She's really cute. Oh, he's really handsome. Boy, I would have done that. It's more than that. It's understanding biblically why God gave the process of dating. It has an end result. The dating is the process to get you there to be successful. And it's understanding what that long-range goal will be. Not letting your emotions get out of control. Boy, that happens a lot. You know why that happens? You know why guys get their emotions out of control in a dating situation? And you know why girls will get their emotions out of control? I'll tell you why. Because you're not operating by principles. You know what will always keep anybody's emotions in control about anything in life? The principles of the Word of God. And yet you're principled about reading your Bible, you're principled about soul winning, you're principled about ministry, you're principled about discipleship. But when it comes to entering into a dating relationship, you never see the end goal, you don't understand the transition, and you don't realize that it's a process that God has put into Christianity to get you from point A to point B. You're going to find folks, that a guy will meet one gal, that's it. He falls in love with her, she falls in love with him, they get married and live happily ever after. It happens all the time. The problem is you can't make that the pattern for everything because we're all different. Some guy's emotional stability is not there yet. Sometimes the girl's is stronger than his. Sometimes he has things he has to learn, she has to have to learn to get the idea that, wow, this is the woman for me and this is the one I'm going to marry. Probably going to end in a crash and burn situation because it's not realistic. you're not following the principles. You're not seeing the end result. You're not following the structure of what, how it all plays out. And when somebody has that idea that I find this one person and that's it, when somebody has that idea, it's usually going to be a source of heartache for them in relationships down the line, because it just isn't the way it always works. Sometimes it does. Praise the Lord, it does. I know people that it did. I think it's great. But I'm going to tell you, it's not the norm. You can't lock yourself in. Everybody is different. You may think, oh, that girl over there, she's the one I want to marry. And she ain't thinking that way. She may look at you and say, oh, what a hunk. Oh, I'm going to marry that guy. And he ain't thinking that way. Everybody's different. Don't let anybody take you out of your liberty. That liberty is an incredible thing that God has given us. Most people don't understand that God allows us to make a lot of decisions simply because you do what's right with the Word of God. That's liberty versus the law. They couldn't make any decisions in the Old Testament. All their decisions were governed by the law. In the New Testament, that's not true. Our decisions are governed by the principles. Now, I need to address this before I forget. As a parent, you want to be careful with it. Now, I don't know what level you are on the Bible. You seem like you're pretty good. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that it's better that a person doesn't marry. Now, Paul never married or stayed single. It's a thing where I get that. And he goes through that and he says that if you don't have a husband or a wife, you can give more of a devoted time to the Lord. I get that. I understand that. Listen to me. Don't tell your 12, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old that. They're not mature enough to understand to handle that. If they're that kind of person, as they walk through this transitions, God will reveal that to them. Then you deal with it. You don't tell somebody. That's like telling a kid that's 12 or 14 years old, you need to question your gender. Are you really a girl or are you really a guy? Now, you tell somebody that's 20 years old that, they'll punch your lights out. They know who they are. But a kid 12, 13 years, 14 years old, they're not mature enough to understand that. So they get sucked into it. And you don't want to be a stumbling block and to somebody like that. So you may understand that, but that doesn't come into their life at this point. You need to work on the principles in Genesis chapter 24 and the transitions. And that's something that will come into their life as God reveals himself and they grow, and that has to come from God. Not me and not you. Now, once they start getting there, then you can help them. But that won't be at 12, 13, 14, or 15, or 16, or 17. Now, another problem that you're going to find when your kids start dating is unrealistic expectations. And that, again, comes back to not understanding the overall concept of dating and the end result of marriage. And sometimes they move too fast. Sometimes they expect more out of the relationship than the relationship is ready to give. They don't, and because they're not operating by the principles and giving it time and work on proving themselves to that person and trying to get that person to see what they want them to see, it becomes a problem. And it comes down to that you're not, they won't be able to see that three-point transition. Uh, a parent has to see their responsibility as their children's training ground to adulthood. You wouldn't take a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old, the day and age we live in, you probably would, take them to the airport, give them a ticket, and say you're going to see your aunt in California, she'll meet you at the airport. You wouldn't do that. You'd make sure that they were safe and secure and got where they wanted to go and had everything they need. Well, why wouldn't you do the same thing when they're that vulnerable, when they begin that transition into another relationship? Each person in a discovery relationship should use it, first of all, to build themselves as an individual. You start looking at the responsibility around you. Last week I gave you, five things in Ephesians 5 or whatever it was, those things there that you do. I think it was 7. That's where you start. Start looking at those. You build yourself as an individual as they build their relationship together, and that's how you prove all things. But you have to have the end goal in mind. It doesn't mean that this is the person for that goal. You need to understand that you are in a 3-point transition, and you learn everything you can through that transition. And that is the key to understanding how to build a proper biblical relationship. Also, you know, you need to be prepared for this. Now, I've given you the cold, hard facts, the principles. But sooner or later, your child is going to get hurt in a relationship. It happens. I know they're young. I know they think they're in love, yet they have no idea what real love is. They're infatuated, maybe. And it happens. And they're going to hurt terribly. Every parent has to deal with that. I understand that. We all should understand that, because no matter how old you are, as Ricky Nelson used to say, we all have went down to Lonely Town. And as the old 50s song is, breaking up is hard to do. And it's a tough time. I get that. There's 1,000 songs out there that are written, you know, about break up, Heartbreak Hotel, you know, all those different things. It's a reality. But it's a reality as hard as it is. Even in that, the parent needs to be smarter than the problem. I'll ask you a question. Whatever in your Christian life, if you really grew, whatever in your Christian life did you not grow through pain? Anything? I go to the gym, and up there at the gym, they got this sign, no pain, no gain. I see guys up there that are, guess they're Christians, they wear a t-shirt that says, his pain, my gain. If you look at the book of Job, you're going to find that what Job went through had to be very painful. But the growth process of Job on the end of the book of Job was a lot better than when he went in. Now that may sound cold and callous. I'm not trying to be cold and callous, but I'm trying to be biblical and scriptural. Hurt in relationships is the growth process. I'm sorry. Everybody in this room, unless you're just a goofus. Everybody in this room has had their heart broken at some point, or you have broken somebody's heart. And because of that, you know the pain that I'm talking about. Now, as a parent, that's hard to watch your child do that. I remember years ago, I'd always look for the spiritual angle. I remember years and years ago, I was at a camp, and this guy broke up with this girl at camp, and she was devastated. And I'm trying to get her to see the biblical side of it. And it's not going to happen. So she's sitting in there, and the counselor's there, you know, and she's just wailing and crying, and she's beating the table, you know, and she says, you don't understand. She says, I love him. 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 And I can't live without him. Now the female counselor put her arms around her, you know, and cuddled her a little bit. I looked at her and said, wow, you know what? That's exactly the feeling you and I have toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You love him and you can't live without him. I haven't heard anything about him come up. I've just heard about Bugwit over here that dumped you. You see, life is full of pain, isn't it? Job says life's a veil of tears. Bible says man born of woman in few days and the sparks fly upward. Life is tough. Life is full of hurt and disappointment. It'll either make you or break you. It depends on how you approach it. And I get it. I get it, you know. Kids are young. Kids are not mature enough yet. They don't understand it. Their emotions are over. The principles aren't there. God's someplace else. He ain't in the deal. And because the parents didn't do their job, the parents at that point need to sit down with the guy or the gal and bring them back to reality. Hey, look, it's okay. Don't take this personal because you're God's man. You're God's woman. Look at this for what it is. I would rather have you shed tears now over a busted relationship than to marry the bozo and then spend the next 20 years bawling your eyes out because of the marriage. That's perspective. See? That's understanding that through these things you grow. Through these things, I mean, I say everybody here, probably a lot of you, most of you, everybody here probably can ride a bike really well. I know we got bikers here that ride their bicycles all over the place. I like it. When I walk on the trails, it's filled with bikers. Not the German helmet guys, the bikers that ride their bikes. They wear those alien-looking helmets, you know, with the stick out the back and goofy-looking helmets. I wouldn't wear one of them helmets. I'd rather have a head concussion than wear one of them helmets. That's just me. I haven't ridden a bike for a long time. I promise you I could get on that bike and ride it really well. I'll never forget the first real bike I got. And I feel bad about this. My mom and dad sacrificed. And I, back in the day, everybody had nice bicycles. I didn't have a nice bicycle. And for my 14th birthday, they bought me a what back then was called a Schwinn Racer. It was a three-speed. The bikes now have more speeds on them than, I mean, down at the bottom is warp speed. You just pedal your way anywhere. But not back then, he had three. And it had handbrakes. It took me about three wrecks to figure out that I was used to, you know, on your regular bike, when you ride pedal it, when you put the pedal backward, it brakes. But if you got handbrakes, you push the pedal backwards, your pedal just go and you run into the wall or whatever you're running into. You got to use the handbrakes. I know. You already figured it out. I wasn't the brightest 14-year-old. Okay. But I didn't have a lot. So I had never really ridden a real bike before. I wanted one and I got one. And my dad, bless his heart, I can look back, close my eyes and see when I got it on my birthday, we had sidewalks up around the house. And he put me on the bike, and my little legs weren't even hard long enough to get the pedals yet, but he lowered the seat. That's another thing with you bikers. How in the world do you sit on that little seat? I mean, You know, remember when I got my bike, I had to get that. I wanted one of them tractor seats with holes in it, you know, my bike. You put it on for me, didn't you? Put it on for me, yeah. Haven't rode that bike since. But anyway, you know, I still see my dad. I don't know how to ride a bike. And my dad, bless his heart, I was pedaling. He was running along, holding on to the back of the bike so I wouldn't fall over on it. No, my dad. I see that just as clear as anything. I mean, that's just great memories. It probably took me 8 or 9 really good crashes on that bike. Skinned elbows. We didn't wear helmets back then. And believe me, the concrete was just as hard then as it is today. I hit my head one time and bleeding down the side of my face. I skinned both knees. I made a mistake and wore long pants riding a bike, and my pant leg got caught in the chain. That's an experience. I think that's where they got up the phrase chain reaction. I must have wrecked that thing I don't know how many times. And I hurt myself every... You okay, Barb, down there? Yeah. I'm going to tell your bike story here in a minute. So just there you go. See, wait. If you go through life right, you start out with a tricycle. But at 14 years old, I didn't want to ride a tricycle in my neighborhood. And then, if your family has some money, you can buy training wheels, and they bolt onto the back wheel. Keeps it from falling over. We didn't have money, so I had to have my dad run along. Hold on to it. I'll never forget. He let go to see how I was doing. I must have went 10 feet. Bang, I fell over. I didn't learn how to balance myself yet. A couple of times, I even hit the neighbor's car because the dumb handbrakes. I wasn't used to them. And I pushed my back thing back, and that thing just went and smashed right into his car. You know? I had a telephone pole. You know? I mean, I must have fell over and scraped my knees, my elbows, my head. But through it all, I finally learned to ride a bike. Now you say, what's the point of all this? I have no idea. I just thought I'd tell you that story. What is the point to all this? In relationships, you're going to have some ouchies. You're going to fall over. You're going to scrape your knees. In dealing with people and trying to build a relationship, sometimes it's going to work, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's going to go for a while and won't. Sometimes it won't go very far and work. It's just like a ride on a bike. You stay with it, and sooner or later, just like you learn to ride the bike, you'll find that person that God has for you, and it'll be compatible. But it has to go back to Genesis chapter 24. It has to go back to you understanding those three transitions that dating is going through. You have to realize that God has given us liberty. There's a lot of things that God just lets us do. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. There's some things that are even lawful to do, but it's not wise to do. Liberty is an incredible thing. I know it's misused today, but you have liberty in picking who you want to marry, as long as they're saved. And Genesis chapter 24 gives you the 19 principles that you look for. And in those 19 principles, when you prove who you are, and she proves who she is, or vice versa, then the compatibility is going to be there. And you realize that dating is a proving ground. You're proving all things. you're proving what works, what doesn't work, what compatibilities you have, what you don't. Your likes versus your dislikes. You like football, she hates it. You like baseball, she hates it. She likes this, you don't like it. Those are all things that doesn't necessarily mean are gonna be a problem for you, but there's certainly things that you realize that you're two different people. I think the biggest thing that, and I've talked about this before with my own people here, is that men and women are two different cultures. Most guys do not see the woman as a different culture. He doesn't understand that the most tender thing about a woman will be her spirit, not her flesh. It will be her spirit. And he needs to guard that spirit that she has. If he doesn't and she gets the wrong spirit, yeah, you'll be the tin man on the golden road to the Oz and you meet the wicked witch of the West. I mean, the bottom line is it will cause you some problems. Guys don't see that. Because dating is so far out of biblical realms, and I put this back on the parents. Because dating is so far out of the biblical principle concept, we find that young guys and gals get into relationships without ever understanding what it's really all about. And the tragedy of that is, if you don't understand what the principles of dating based on the principles of the Bible, then you'll never understand what marriage is. Now, I say this to you, my people, and probably in your church too. A lot of you never had that, and you just turned out really good. There's another aspect to this that I want you to understand, and that is, when you do what's right with the Word of God, when you give God everything you have, then God gives you the ability to be able to build these relationships. If you got into it late, you never knew about it, and you had some rocky times in your marriage, but you got it worked out, my hat's off to you, but I'll tell you why you got it worked out. You got it worked out because you fell in love with the Word of God. No matter what your problems were as husband and wife, once both of you fell in love with the Word of God, you were able to fall in love with each other. And that's the way it works. And because of that, some of you have went through some bad times. Some of you, your husbands left you. Some of you, your wives left you. Some of you, you know, you. But there's my point again. Because of your stability in the Bible, because you love the book more than anything else, and because you've given your life to God, I don't care what your wife has done to you or what your husband has done to you. They may have left you, taken every dime you got, hosed you up one side and down the other. I promise you this, you're stronger tonight for what you went through, simply because of the principles of the Word of God that you've given your life to. It's not about what they take in the divorce. It's not about the money. It's not about the alimony. It's about how do you come out of it. You come out of it better than you went in it, just like Job did. And that's the aspect of dating. Don't put yourself in that position. Start and learn to realize the principles. Let the principles dictate your emotions and keep those four transitions or three transitions in your mind, and then realize that the last one is, what's your long-range goal? This may not be the person, whether it is or not, it's immaterial. For you, what is your long-range goal as a man? As a woman, what is your long-range goal as a woman? What do you want out of life? The answer to that will be found, whether you get it or not, how you work through those transitions. So I hope that helps you. Hopefully we'll put this into a little pamphlet and people will be able to get it. I'm sure after tonight I'll get bombarded with a lot of people that want something out of it. And as I said, remember, and this is the most important part, You don't just marry the person. You marry the Christ in the person. Problem is that most guys and most gals, they're not looking for the Christ. They're looking at the body. They're looking at the person. And that will always be a mistake. Dating will be the process to find that Christ in the person. By taking your time, keeping those goals, and most importantly, proving all things. Dating will be the entrance level or the gateway in time to marriage. And marriage will be the final act. And that will be where God will take you and the generations of your family based on that marriage, based on that person, based on what you've done through dating, and create a ministry team for generations. It's just that simple. Allowing God through the principles to prove all things, and then you hold fast to that which is good. So, there we go. All right, a couple of announcements, and then Danny's going to come up and give you some instructions. You can put money on your chuck wagon for your kids if you want. Camp sponsors, you can see me. Don't forget to sign up for Jeffrey to get him home or here.